Philippians chapter number 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Philippians chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 5. Philippians 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like for you to underline that first phrase in verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you." I want to preach on that. Let this mind be in you. Or, if you want to write something else, the obedient servant. And that's what the mind of Christ is all about obeying His Father. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for mercy and grace. Thank You, Lord, that You, the Creator God, that set the moon in place and the stars and the sun and created the heaven and the earth, loved us enough to provide for us and send Your only begotten Son into this world, Lord, to be our Savior, Lord, to be our example. And I pray tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture, these next few moments that we have together, I pray that our hearts be stirred to be a greater servant for Thee. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross, and may we see Thee tonight, and may we know Thy will and hear Thy word in Thy power and Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I don't think any of us would doubt the fact that the Lord desires every one of us to serve Him. We know that it is God's will for us to serve Him with our lives. As Brother Tom Sexton always says, we need to give our life to doing God's will. And certainly I think that's true. And we'll look at God's will tonight. But the greatest way to do this is to have the mind of Christ. The greatest way to serve the Lord is to have His mind. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and so apparently as he's writing this is possible for our lives, to have the mind of Christ concerning the will of the Father. He said, "Let this mind be in you." So as we look at this, we have to have an understanding that Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words, and through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Lord is telling us that we need to have the mind of Christ concerning these things with our life. Christ, of course, is the greatest servant that the world has ever known. He was the greatest example to us that we've ever had. And tonight as we think about this, we're going to look at Him as the example here in just a moment. But we need to realize if we are saved, we are not saved to sit, we are saved to serve. And a lot of people have the idea that once they give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that everything's all right. And yes, you're going to heaven. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. But dear friends, you're going to get there, and you're going to get there by the skin of your teeth, really by the grace of God. But you're not going to have anything in heaven with you. If all you do is just give your life to the Lord and that's where you stop, that's the starting point of this great life of living for the Lord, is the day that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from there you begin to take steps in serving the Lord and doing what God would have you to do. Well, how in the world can we serve the Lord in this day? By having the mind of Christ. Why? First of all, I want you to see His example. I want you to see the example that He gives us. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. When it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," look what it says, "who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So as we look at this, we realize that our greatest example for serving God is His own precious Son. You know, the Bible says Peter was writing through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he said in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps." And what were the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ? To do whatever it is that His Father commanded Him to do. He came to serve His Father. He came to fulfill the will of His Father. And the responsibility of a servant is found here in Philippians. I want you to do this if you've not already done this. I think I've told you to do this before. But in verse number 7, would you circle the word servant in your Bible? And then in verse number 8, would you circle that word obedient? And then you can draw a line from the word servant to the word obedient. This is the responsibility of the servant, and that is to obey the master. To obey the ones that God has placed in your life, the authority that God has put over you, and ultimately to obey our Heavenly Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest example that we have. Because He took upon Him the form of a servant, and He became obedient unto death. Think about that. Even the death of the cross. The most cruel and hideous death that you could possibly imagine. The death of the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to suffer this death. You realize that when He humbled Himself, His first humility was not the cross. His first humility, the first time He humbled Himself was when He came into this world through the womb of a virgin and was born in a cattle stall, if you will, in the side of a hill. That's humility. He left the portals of glory. He left the joys of heaven. He left all the perfection of that great land. And He came into this world and He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He came to serve. He took upon Him the form of a servant. Think about that. He came to serve. And He came to serve His Father. And serving His Father, He made a way for us to be saved and to have heaven as our home. There's never been a more obedient person in all the world than the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Him as He robed Himself in flesh and He took upon Him this form of a servant and He was made in the likeness of man, but He never ceased to be God. He was God robed in flesh. He was the God-man. And the reason why is because the only way for God's plan of salvation to be fulfilled was for a perfect sacrifice to be made. And God gave His Son to the world. And the Son obeyed. And the Son did exactly what the Father would have Him to do. And He became our great example of what a servant is all about. As a matter of fact, you know, the Son always obeyed His Father. John chapter number 8 and verse number 29, the Bible says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." What an example of a servant tonight. Always those things that please Him. That is what we are supposed to be doing with our lives, those things which please the Lord. We are to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we serve the Lord? By letting the mind of Christ be in us. Let this mind be in you. Follow His example. Realize all that He did so that we could have everlasting life. And now that we've received eternal life, now that we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it is God's will for us to serve Him. It is God's will for us to give ourselves fully to whatever it is He wants us to do. We are to surrender our life to God's will. And the example we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. The example we have is the one that humbled Himself further than any of us would ever have to humble ourselves. The example we have is the God that would take upon Himself the form of a servant, the body of a human being, and die on the cross. Not because He needed to die on the cross, but because we needed Him to die on the cross. Do you see that? What if Christ had not died on the cross for our sins? What if Christ had not been the obedient servant? We know that there was no sin in Him. He could not sin because He was God. We understand that. But what if He had not died on the cross? What if He would have come and set up His kingdom? Do you realize that if He would have come and set up His kingdom at that time, that all would be in hell? Because in the Old Testament, yes, they had the blood of bulls, the blood of goats. But that was just a foreshadow of the blood of Christ. That was just helping us to see our need for a blood sacrifice. And it was not until the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross that the way to heaven was made available to all. And those in the Old Testament that looked forward to Christ, those that put their faith in what God said about salvation, about the blood, about the working of God and the faithfulness of God. The Bible teaches us that when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave, He took captivity captive. He brought those out that He could bring them in. Amen? What a Savior we have. And then the Bible teaches us that not only did He do that, He made a way for everybody that was born after that time to be able to trust Him as Savior. Why did He do that? Because that was the will of the Father. Can I ask you now, what is God's will? What's God's will for your life? Do you know, I don't know if it's God's will for you to be a preacher or not. I don't know if it's God's will for you to be a missionary or not. I don't know if it's God's will for you to do certain things, to move certain places, to act certain ways. You know, you understand what I'm saying? There are certain things I can't tell you what God's will is, but there are some things I know is God's will for your life. I know it beyond any shadow of a doubt because the Bible tells us. We've seen the example, but now I want you to see the extent of letting this mind be in us. How far do we go serving the Lord? We go all the way. We serve the Father the way that Christ served the Father. Notice what the Bible says in our text in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 8. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And look at this. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you see the extent of the service of our Lord? How far did He go in obeying the will of the Father? How far did He go? The extent was a total obedience to His heavenly Father. This obedience was unto death, even the death of the cross. You remember we said that where the Lord Jesus said back in the Gospel of John, He says, I do always those things that please Him. And every time I think of that scripture, I think of Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 10, where Isaiah was writing, looking into the future at Christ. And he said this, he wrote this, yet it pleased the Father to bruise Him. When Jesus took upon Him the form of a servant, I want you to know, He knew what He was going to have to go through. He knew that the cross was His to bear. He knew that He would be beaten and bruised and battered. And He knew that He would have to die the cruelest of deaths. He knew He would have to be mocked and spat upon and beaten. He knew all these things. Because Isaiah had already told us. But I want you to remember, it was the Lord that told him that it pleased the Father to bruise Him. And He did always those things that pleased His Father. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? It's an amazing thing when you begin to put it all together. So we begin to see this. The extent of our service is to go all the way with God. Amen. It's to be willing to be selfless and to be fully surrendered to the Savior. Think about all that He did for us. And because of all He did for us, we need to do everything that He asked us to do. My favorite preacher says we serve the Lord because of, not in order to. And by that it simply means not in order to be saved, but because we are saved. There ought never be a question that if there's opportunity to serve the Lord and it's something that you can do, that you do it. That shouldn't be a problem. After all that our Father has done for us, we should obey Him to the fullest extent. Let this mind be in you. Obedience is delighting in doing His will. And we know that it's God's will that we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible helps us to understand these things. He says in James chapter number 1, verse number 18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, That word begat means we're saved. It is God's will for us to be saved, and it is God's will for others to be saved. I can't tell you the extent that God wants you to go, but dear friends, if you're not doing your part and I'm not doing my part in being a witness, then we're not going to go to the next step. We're stopping short of what God would have us to do. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, and you know this verse, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. We're talking here, as Peter's writing, that some people are doubting that Jesus is coming again. They're mocking and making fun and they're laughing at us for believing that Christ is coming again. And Peter says, I want you to know, those of you that are mocking and making fun, the Lord's not slack. The Lord's not putting off His promise because He's not coming. He is coming. But here is why He has not come yet. For He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what God's will is? For people to be saved. And once we're saved, you know what God's will is? For us to do our part in getting people saved. Friends, we have to understand this is our responsibility. It's not a choice. The Great Commission is a command from God. And we must be busy doing this, because this is the very reason the church exists today, is to fulfill the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission, the New Testament church did it daily in every house. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Every day they were knocking on doors. Every day they were telling people about the Lord. That's what the New Testament church did. And we need to be that. We need to be that first century church again, don't we? We need to go back to the first century church and follow their example and understand that this is what God has for us. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter number 3, concerning the children, we look at this, and you know this passage of Scripture as the Lord Jesus is dealing with certain things here. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 4, the Lord Jesus is dealing with children, and He has these children there, and He says that God's not willing that any of these children should be lost. And we need to understand this. In verse 14, He says, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. You understand? One thing we know is God's will, and God's will is for people to be saved. It's God's will for people to know the Lord. Mark chapter number 3, verse 35, the Bible says, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You know what He's saying? That if we're doing the will of God with their life, then we're identifying with Him as being a part of His family. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And if we have that kind of mind, then we're His brother and His sister and His mother. We're related to Him. And we prove our relation to Christ because we're willing to identify with Him through telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ and doing God's will with our life. The example is Christ. The extent is that He went all the way. He did everything that needed to be done. And doing His will is doing exactly what He wants. It's not picking and choosing. So many of us want to pick and choose what we do for the Lord. But that's not obedience. Obedience is doing exactly what God wants us to do. And God may not want everybody in here to be a preacher, especially you ladies. And God may not want every one of us to be a preacher, may not want every one of us to do certain things, but God wants every one of us to be busy doing the work of the Lord, telling others about Jesus Christ. So many people busy themselves with everything else. And by the way, we can volunteer for everything else in the church, but we can't volunteer to go out soul winning, can we? We can put hours and hours into this practice or that practice, but what about putting an hour or two a week into knocking on doors? You understand that this is the will of the Father. I've said many times we shouldn't have to even have a soul winning visitation for the fact that we're just always busy doing it. But I see time and time again in the Bible where they were sent out. They had a time where they scheduled themselves and they were sent out. They would come together and then they were sent out two by two. They were sent out to go and to preach the gospel and to reach people. How far are we going to go? What are we going to do? What's the extent of the mind of Christ being a part of our lives? You understand that we have a responsibility to this generation. I believe a past generation has failed in so many ways of carrying the gospel message. And every generation, there's fewer and fewer and fewer that have the mind of Christ. And there's got to be a stopping point of that, and we've got to begin going the other way again. And let's be part of that. Let's do what we can. Look, I know people can't come on certain times when we have it scheduled. I realize that. But do what you can. If you can make phone calls, if physically you can't come, you can make phone calls, and then make phone calls. If you can go out during the day, just go out into your neighborhood. Go where you feel safe and comfortable. We're not going to send anybody where they don't feel safe. But go find a place and do this. Bring us a list of people that we can pray for and then write a letter. And we're not going to hound them. We're going to write a letter and encourage them. That's what this is supposed to be all about. If we're not supposed to come together and then go out, then why do we meet together? If it's all just about coming here. Look, this Bible pressures us to do things for the Lord. It don't give us choices when it comes to certain things. It gives us commands. And we have to be busy doing these things that God would have us to do. When the Father speaks to us, before He speaks to us, our answer should already be determined. And the answer is yes. Whatever it is God wants us to do, it's yes. Certain areas we know what God wants us to do, but other things, you know, it's yes. God says, I want you to preach, son. You should already be saying yes. If that's what you want, Lord, my answer is yes. You don't even know that that's what He wants right now, but you've already said yes to whatever it is God says He wants you to do. That's the mind of Christ. Before the world ever began, Christ already said yes to what His Father wanted. Think about it. You want to know why He said yes to going to the cross, to dying the cruel death? Because He loved you. Before you were ever a gleam in your mother's eye, He knew you and He loved you. And He said, yes, I'll go. Knowing all your faults, all your failures, all my thoughts, all my shortcomings, all my failures, all the things. He knew all about me, but He still said, yes. I think that's pretty neat that He would say yes for me. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. So do we have the mind of Christ? Look, I'm not trying to pressure you into making some great big decision. I'm just trying to say, let's consider our life in serving the Lord. Let's draw a circle around the word servant in our life and around the word obedient in our life, and let's connect them together by doing with our life whatever God wants us to do. And by the way, I want to say this. I will let God be the judge of this. You don't have to answer to me. I'm not the judge. But when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I stand before Him, we will all give an answer to Him for what we've done with Him with our lives. May the Lord help us. Let's determine to commit to doing the will of the Father. Father, we thank You for Your time and for Your Word. And I ask You to bless us tonight as we consider this, and Lord, may we follow You. Lord, as we seek Your perfect will in our lives, Lord, may we already say yes, regardless of what it is you want us to do. Yes to you. Yes. Just yes, Lord. Help that to be our answer. Lord, concerning the things we know you want us to do, Lord, just help us to be willing to do your will in these matters. And help us to do it out of a loving heart and a desire. And Lord, help us to be faithful because you've been so faithful to us. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to quietly stand to your feet tonight. I'm not going to ask any questions or anything like that.